Early next month, the Pulitzer Committee will announce this year's awards for investigative journalism. For journalists, winning a Pulitzer is about as good as it gets, roughly equivalent to capturing an Oscar. And similar to this year's Oscars, there are allegations of a campaign underway to undermine one of the frontrunners for the award. As On the Media's Jad Abumrad reports, the story pits the Seattle Times against the Wall Street Journal.
Last March, the Seattle Times published the six-part series Uninformed Consent. After a two-year investigation, the series concluded that doctors at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, called Hutch for short, did not adequately inform patients of the risks involved in the clinical trials they were a part of. Many patients died prematurely, according to the series. A year later, Uninformed Consent has won four major journalism awards, and the series is rumored to be a finalist for the Pulitzer. That's when the accusations started flying. Steve Goldstein, a spokesman for the Wall Street Journal, puts it bluntly.
With the evidence that the Seattle Times had, that story would not have passed muster in the Wall Street Journal.
So Journal managing editor Laura Landreau wrote an opinion piece entitled Good Medicine, Bad Journalism. Landreau, a cancer survivor, accused the Seattle Times of short-sighted sensationalism, of ignoring the number of lives the center's research has saved, including her own. That same day, the Seattle Times fired back with their own op-ed, Good Journalism, Bad Critique, about Landreau's piece.
There was absolutely nothing in her piece that undermined the validity of what we reported. She didn't even speak specifically to any of the details.
David Boardman is the editor of the series.
She's very connected with the place. They saved her life. So she's not an unbiased source.
Goldstein responds,
"That's preposterous, and it's sexist. She is a professional journalist writing about a topic to which she's very knowledgeable about."
The op-ed tit-for-tat continued this week, mostly centered around the issue of timing. Why did the journal decide to publish Landreau's op-ed now versus a year ago? The Seattle Times contends, and the New York Times suggests, that the journal may have been trying to derail the series from getting a Pulitzer.
I see this as the latest chapter in a long and storied history of the controversy over the prizes.
Doug Bates, editor of The Oregonian and historian of the Pulitzer Prize, says the jury, which met a month ago to select the finalists, is supposed to keep the names secret till the board makes its decision in April.
But we people in the newspaper business are probably the biggest blabbermouths on earth.
Still, the hubbub within the industry rarely breaks through to the outside world, as it has this year. One notorious case. In 1981, Washington Post reporter Janet Cook was awarded a Pulitzer for profiling an 8-year-old heroin addict, a story she later admitted was completely made up. The prize was retracted. This concern for accuracy, normally a good thing between journalists, can become a weapon in the hands of private institutions who may use it to bludgeon even worthy Pulitzer Prize submissions, says Dave Boardman of the Seattle Times.
You know, this isn't about the Wall Street Journal trying to keep us from getting a Pulitzer. This is about the Hutch trying to keep us from getting a Pulitzer Prize.
According to Boardman, even before the Landreau editorial was published, an association, of which the Hutch is the principal member, sent a packet of information the size of the Seattle phone book to the members of the Pulitzer board.
This kind of thing has been going on behind the scenes for some time.
Boardman recalls a similar situation with journalist Sam Rowe, now with the Chicago Tribune.
In 1999, when I was at my former paper, the Toledo Blade, we had published a six-part series on beryllium, which is a metal used in nuclear weapons and whose toxic dust can cause an awful fatal lung disease.
Rowe's series provoked the ire of a Cleveland beryllium manufacturer.
And they started distributing a thick pack of materials, thick as a New York phone book, actually, and part of it was titled A Chronicle of Reckless Reporting. I honestly believe that they tried to intimidate the judges, not just the Pulitzer judges, but other contest judges, by the sheer volume of it.
The built-in problem, according to Rowe, is that the Pulitzer Board has limited time to evaluate not just newspaper submissions, but also encyclopedia-sized challenges, and that hurts a reporter's chances. Seymour Topping, director of the Pulitzer Committee, says that's not true. He declined to be taped for this interview, but he did say, adamantly, that the board resists lobbying. Pulitzer Prize historian Doug Bates.
There have been those kind of controversies throughout the history of the prizes in journalism. That doesn't mean that a close look at that history leaves you feeling that the prizes are badly tarnished, quite the opposite.
Except in a few unusual years, like this one.
It reminds me a lot of what happened this year in the Academy Awards.
Like Oscar winner or Olympic gold medalist, the phrase Pulitzer Prize winner will precede the name of the people who win it for the rest of their professional lives. Even in the most rarefied newsrooms, that's a distinction worth fighting for.
Chad Abumrad reports for NPR's On the Media, which is produced by member station WNYC in New York.